For now this evening, I'll ask you to open your Bibles with me on Luke chapter 17 and the verses we read together between 11 and 19. And you might like to initially just have your finger in Luke chapter 13 as I shall be referring back to that passage. Now in these verses this evening, we have a remarkable and a very encouraging incident in the life of the Lord Jesus. He is ministering in the regions of Galilee and Samaria when it takes place. And the event seems to be uniquely recorded by Luke. He's traveling with his disciples toward Jerusalem when they arrive at a certain village. We don't know which village it was in verse 12, but Jesus entered a certain village. As he's traveling, it's quite possible that Jesus is on his way to the final Passover. He's on the way to Jerusalem and possibly to his death. But what is significant for us this evening is what takes place in this unnamed village to 10 unnamed men, but all known to the Lord. Key to understanding why it is on record are Jesus' closing words regarding the leper who had been healed and returned to him. Just glance down to verse 19. Arise, Jesus says, go your way, your faith has made you well. And I want us this evening, with God's help, to learn some precious lessons about saving faith. A phrase that trips off most of our tongues, but do we ever pause to think about what saving faith is? You see, this is not merely an academic matter or a nice story, an encouraging story to read. There's a vital lesson for all of us here this evening. Scripture tells us very plainly that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is an essential thing. Faith is essential to be a Christian. Faith is essential in living the Christian life. It's impossible to please God without faith. We must believe that He is. We must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do you know what faith is? More importantly, do you possess faith? Because you cannot please God if you don't possess and exercise faith. So that immediately raises a question in my mind, and I hope in yours, an important question, a very personal question. How do I know that I possess the faith that saves? How do I know that I possess this faith, which if I have it, makes it possible for me to please God? That's the question I really want to answer this evening. But I suggest that first we need to remind ourselves what grace is and what the relationship is between grace and faith. True faith is the believer's reaction or response to God's grace made known to them. That's what faith is. It's a response. It's something we do. It's something we exercise in response to something God has revealed to us. That's why I read with you from Luke chapter 13. And we read there, didn't we, how Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. It's Luke 13 verse 10, on the Sabbath. What's happening here? Well, in the synagogue that day, there was a woman. A woman who had an 18-year-old physical disability. And on that day in the synagogue, Jesus spoke to her, and she believed what Jesus said. And what happened was that she was healed. She was wonderfully straightened out physically. And we remind ourselves from that passage as well that Jesus made the point that there was a spiritual element to this disability. In verse 16, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound? Think of it. Jesus says, listen, just think about what I'm saying. Shouldn't this woman, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be set free from that bondage which she was in? Now, I'm not saying by drawing your attention to this that to every physical disability there is a spiritual element. I'm not saying that. For this woman, there was. There's a principle here, isn't there? A much greater principle. Because we are all bound. We are all in bondage to sin and corruption. Sometimes it results in physical disability, sometimes it doesn't. But there is a sense in which we're all included there. And in that woman's healing, we see a glorious act of God's grace. God's grace. We read how God, in the second person of the Holy Trinity, graciously saves his people from their sin and from all its consequences. Just notice in that passage in Luke 13, in verse 12, what happened? The first thing that happened was Jesus saw her. Jesus sees us in our need. Then, having seen her, he called her. I'm not going to be preaching, going through the miracle here, but just look what God does. He saw, he called, he spoke. He said to her, he spoke to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." He laid his hands on her. She was made straight and glorified God. She was healed. That's what the Lord Jesus did. He saw her in her need. He called her in that need. He spoke into that need. And he healed her from the problem. And all, in verse 13, for the glory of God. Thus, it's by the activity of God that we are saved. And that is grace. God intervening in our lives and saving us from our sin. Grace is the undeserved activity of Jesus. And it's because of grace that we are saved. Not for what we do, but because of what God has done in Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the Ephesians, by grace you have been saved. But Paul also goes on, doesn't he, to write that while saved by his grace alone, salvation is received through faith alone. And that itself is the gift of God. What happened in this instance was that God acted in Christ towards this woman. And she responded to him. She was made straight. You've got grace at work and faith responding to that grace. So clearly, coming back to our passage this evening, faith is something that we exercise. Something we do, if you like. It's our reaction to the call of God, his act of grace, and we believe what he says and respond accordingly. That's where the faith element comes in. After all, that woman responded to the call, an act of faith, and the whole circumstance brought glory to God. Now, coming on to this incident, as Jesus is going up to Jerusalem, we see in a little more detail what faith looks like, what the response of faith looks like. And there are four things that mark out genuine faith. So come with me into Luke 17. First of all, faith calls on Jesus. Faith calls on Jesus. Grace calls on us. Faith is the other way around. Faith calls on Jesus. As he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. These men, seeing the Saviour approaching them, they immediately react. And notice what they do. In verse 12, they stood afar off. They were lepers, we're told that. 10 men. 10 lepers standing afar off. We don't need to go into the details of this dreadful disease tonight, but sufficient to say it was contagious and therefore these men were unclean. Lepers had to live in isolation, didn't they? Away from their homes, away from their families, away from their communities. And they lived in isolation without any hope of a normal life. It was incurable. There was no known treatment for leprosy in those times. And so serious was it that they were precluded from even going to worship. To worship at the 3 great memorial feasts. They could not go up to Jerusalem to the feasts. They could not join the pilgrims on their journey. They had to remain separate from it all. So from an appropriate distance, afar off, they do something. They called out to the Lord. They lifted up their voices. They said, Jesus must have mercy on us. That's faith at work. They're responding to the grace of God in Jesus Christ. There they are. They see him. He's walking towards them. They're aloof from him. But they cannot see Jesus without responding to him. And respond they do. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They call out to the Lord. And I suggest we can note a couple of important things that drove them to do so. They knew their need. They knew their need. Master, have mercy on us. They knew their need of mercy. They needed something they didn't deserve. The obvious need was to be healed of their leprosy. Oh, if only that was dealt with, they could return to normal life. And possibly, for one or more of them, to go back home to their families. They could then go up to worship with joy. They needed God's mercy. They needed to be healed of their leprosy. But the deeper need was for mercy. Don't forget, leprosy was usually viewed as a judgment of God upon a person. That was the way it was looked at in those times. It's a judgment of God on them. Perhaps it's a judgment of God on their families. That's why they're lepers. They need mercy. They need that judgment to be lifted. They needed the result of that judgment to be lifted. So they cry for mercy. But where did they go with that need? Where did they go? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They went to the right person, didn't they? They went to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was standing amongst them. That was his gracious presence. And seeing that gracious Saviour there, they saw him. Look how they addressed him. Jesus. They called him Saviour because that's what Jesus means. They perceived that this man, there in front of them, though at a distance, he's the one through whom God's mercy comes. He's the one who saves from sin and all its consequences. He's the one that can deliver them from this dreaded pest of leprosy. They recognize him as the Savior. Master, they call. They acknowledge him as the one with power. They acknowledge him as the one who's got the authority to deliver them in their situation. They stood at a distance, but they cried out. They couldn't come near, but they could cry out loud enough for the Lord to hear them. And they did. And that, if you like, is the first step of faith in response to the Lord's presence. The Lord's word, the gospel. Is there someone here tonight who is only too well aware of their sin and its devastating consequences? Are you tonight like the hymn writer who could look back to a time when I sighed for rest and happiness? I yearned for them. But not thee, not Christ. But while I passed my Saviour by, his love laid hold of me. I tried the broken cisterns. Lord, but oh, the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled, and they mocked me as I wailed. Am I speaking to someone like that here? You're like these lepers. Afar off, and you dare not draw near, you cannot draw near, and yet you want to draw near. And that's why the Lord Jesus, in his grace, has presented himself before you, presents himself in the Word. Are you still at a distance from the Lord and Saviour you need? Are you crying tonight? Because he seems to take no notice. Well, let me tonight urge you to pause in your crying. Now you may say, well, I would have thought you'd said persist in crying. No, pause in your crying for a moment and listen. Because the second thing about faith is this. It obeys Jesus. Jesus hasn't said anything yet. They've cried to him. He's been presented to them. They've cried to him. When he saw them, he spoke to them. He spoke to them. He speaks to you tonight. He speaks to me tonight. What does he say? Go show yourselves to the priests in verse 14. That reminds me tonight and reminds you tonight just how important the Word of God is. Jesus didn't go rushing up to them and embrace them. He didn't berate them. He simply gave them a command. Go and show yourselves to the priests. In Leviticus 14, we learn how lepers could be integrated back into society. They had to go and be certified as clean by the priests. And those priests had to use God's ceremonial instructions. Where are the priests today? We don't have priests. We have a great high priest in heaven. And he reveals himself in the Word. Where are we to go? These lepers obeyed the commission, but they had to use God's ceremonial instructions in the law to be healed or to demonstrate their healing. My friend, the scriptures are revealing to you tonight the way of salvation. They speak to us. It's not for nothing we call the Bible God's Word. God's Word, it's God's voice. It's here in the pages of Scripture. He speaks to us. And he tells us the way of salvation and restoration. It is to go to the priest. Now, who's the great high priest of Scripture? It's Jesus himself, isn't it? Go to Jesus Christ. You need to pause and hear what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And what did these men do? What did these 10 lepers do? And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed as they made their way to the temple. The lepers go. They're obedient to the call that has come. A call in grace. A call of grace. And they have that faith that lays hold on that call. And they go. They weren't like Naaman. I thought he was a leper before Elisha. Elisha says, go down and dip in the Jordan. I surely thought, he says, in his rebellious nature, it should be done this way and that way. And a servant has to come to him and say, don't be stupid. Why don't you simply do what the prophet says? And when he did, he was healed. And that's how it is here. But we can't go to the priest because we're lepers. Jesus said, the man with the authority and the power to heal, he says, now you go to the priest. And I say to you tonight, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who stands before you. And through your tears you can't see him. Wipe away those tears and look up. Pause. And go to him. It looks unreasonable, but faith trusts and obeys the Lord's call and his instructions. And how did their healing come about? Only as they obeyed the Lord. That's how their healing came, as they obeyed the Lord. Not by merely assenting to the person of Jesus. That's good, that's important. To recognize that he is the Savior, that he is the Lord. That's vital. Faith will respond to that. When Jesus presents himself in the gospel to you and says, come to me, there's a response to it. That's faith. You say, well, what is faith? How do I know I've got faith? How are you responding to the Lord Jesus Christ? That'll give you the answer. It wasn't merely assenting to what Jesus said, or even agreeing with what he said. The blessing came as they did what Jesus told them to do. I ask you the question tonight again. Do you have such a faith? A faith that recognizes the Lord Jesus for who he is. And when he speaks those comforting and encouraging words in the Gospels, faith reacts and responds to what he says. Without argument, without question, are you simply obeying the Lord Jesus Christ? Come to me, he says. I came to Jesus as I was. I couldn't come in any better way. I couldn't come in any worse state. I came to Jesus as I was. And there I found in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. He's transformed me. He presented himself to me. That's his grace. He doesn't present himself to everybody like that. But he presented himself to me. And there was that within me which is his gift that responded to his presentation of himself and his gospel. And I came. You see, faith calls on Jesus and does just what he says. No more and no less. You must come to Jesus tonight, my friend. To him. He is the priest in the gospel age. Go to him. He's the one who stands between you and a holy God. And you must come to him. And you must come just as you are, without one plea. But that blood was shed for me, a sinner. You can't come in any other way than just as you are, can you? Like these 10 lepers, it will be as you trust and obey that you will be blessed and saved. As they went, they were cleansed and healed. But then there was something different again about this Samaritan. He'd got the added problem. He was a Samaritan as well as a leper. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And we know the history of that. But no, you must come. What happened to the 9? We don't know. Although we do know, they were cleansed. But there was something else about this Samaritan. The other 9 are no longer heard of. This man was healed, and in the Third thing that faith does, it glorifies God. That's what the Samaritan man did. The one in nine. He glorified God, didn't he? Look at him. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. He was healed. He was saved. He could go back to his family. He could live as he should. He had simply trusted and obeyed the God-sent one, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus the Saviour, Christ the promised one. And now he must give him all the glory. He's been saved by grace because Jesus initiated the whole thing. And that salvation came through faith. Through faith. Something he did. He responded to the call. But that was grace. He's now a new creation in Christ Jesus. What joy, what peace fills our heart and soul when we grasp, I'm now accepted with God. I didn't do anything. He did it all. He came to me. He revealed himself to me. He showed me that he is the Saviour. He showed me that he is Lord. And now my heart responds in faith. Faith responds. I am a new creation. I am his and he is mine forever and forever. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And to drive it home, and he was a Samaritan. What joy and peace, I say, fills our heart and soul as we realize we are now accepted with God. How can anyone be unmoved by God's promises and not praise him for the Saviour? And the fourth and final thing, faith thanks Jesus. Faith thanks him. He fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. Will you follow his example tonight? Will you follow the example of this one in ten? He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Have you thanked God for Jesus Christ? Will you follow his example? Think what Jesus has done for sinners, even for the likes of you. Look what he did for our salvation. He came down from heaven's highest glory to live in this fallen world that rejected him. To go and die on a cross, having left heaven's highest glory, he goes to earth's lowest shame in order to save sinners. He rose from the dead so that we have the certification that salvation has been accomplished. He said from the cross, "It's done, it's finished, I've finished the work. Salvation is accomplished." And his Father in heaven reaches down, as it were, into that grave and he comes forth. And there's the proof positive that the work is complete. He's returned to heaven to prepare a place for us. And listen, it goes even beyond that. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he said, I'm coming again for such ones, to take them to be with me in the glory itself forever. My friend, do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you really believe it, I'll tell you what you'll be doing. Whether it's the first time you've grasped it, or the 20th time you've realized afresh tonight that the Lord is your Savior, you will thank him again and again and again in anticipation of thanking him for all eternity. As you fall at his feet now, and when you cast your crown before him in the glory. What is faith? Faith is a response to God's grace. Those who call on the Lord Jesus Christ, who obey his voice, glorify God in their lives. Listen what Jesus says. Arise. Go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Now go and tell others what the Lord has done for you. It may not be appropriate to go into all the gory details of your past, but what can you say of Jesus Christ? I heard the voice of Jesus say, come to me and rest. I came to Jesus as I was. That's how this leper came. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, and I found in him a resting place. 'Tis he has made me glad. Friend, will you come to him? Jesus ready stands to save tonight. He stood still, spoke a word to this leper, and the leper was cleansed and healed and glorified God. Jesus stood before him in his grace and beauty, and faith responded like the iron filings to a magnet to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may it be so. May we all be found falling before him and giving him thanks even this evening. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you have heard every word that has been spoken this evening. Forgive, Lord, where anything has been amiss in your holy sight. But Lord, you have seen every heart in this building tonight that has heard that word. O Lord, may there be many who will come to the feet of Jesus to give him thanks. Heartfelt thanks for his grace and mercy. That thanks that comes because faith has reached out to him. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.